What's up, Walker fans? Daryl and the gang going through the Walker Swamp. Maggie's got some decisions to make, and Negan's got a new bright, deadly idea. Season 8, Episode 11, Dead or Alive, or coming up, don't click away.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Walker fans? We are so excited to be with you on this Sunday night to talk, obviously, The Walking Dead. That is why we are here. If you notice to my left, our man is back, Daryl Christensen. I am Daryl Christian. Sorry, I always mess up your name. I like that. I think it makes you look French.
I like that. Well, I am. So
there you go.
That works.
There you go. I'm so excited that you're back. We've missed you for the last 2 weeks.
I missed you guys too. I'm happy to be back with some great episodes.
Yes.
This season's starting off with a bang, so I'm happy to be here.
Yes. If you've noticed, Ben is out for the week. I will be filling in. I am Timothy Michael. I will see how well I do in his shoes.
You'll be great.
Thank you. I'm so happy that I have your faith.
I'm like Father Gabriel.
There you go. Oh, wow. Yeah, see? let's talk. We'll get to that. So overall thoughts of the episode?
Listen, last week's episode I really liked.
Okay.
So this one was kind of an extension of that. I found like, once again, it kind of reminds me of some of the old episodes with mm-hmm. Gabriel, where it focuses back in on his faith, which sometimes frustrates me.
Yes.
And I will get into that a little mm-hmm. bit more today. But overall, it was a decent episode. It was a good episode. It was solid.
I felt the same way. Now, you've been gone for the last 2 weeks, so I just want to take a step back really quick. Carl's dead. We haven't gotten your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
We obviously knew it was coming because there's obviously no imaginary cure that could have happened in the break.
Yeah.
So how did you feel from the first episode until now? Kind of give us like a little recap.
With Carl's death, I mean, we kind of, you know, last season has sort of talked about what leading up to that, what mm-hmm. that was going to mean. I don't mean this in a morbid way, but I thought it was time. You know, I really thought it was time for him to kind of bite the bullet with
yeah.
the show. I think they needed to kind of switch it up with certain things, and I thought that storyline was sort of dragging out. You know, how it went out, or how he went out, you know, it was good. but I'm also, I kind of like when I see a lot more of the process of
okay.
it. And I felt like they didn't show all the process. They left it more to the imagination, which I kind of get to.
Okay.
They wanted, you know, I think they wanted to draw the viewers in and have you have your own kind of emotional interpretation of what that meant
right.
with losing Carl.
Yes.
And kind of look through it in Rick's eyes in a sense of, and Michonne's with it being so emotional. So that fact, I understand, but I'm not gonna lie, I like a little blood and gut, so
of
I was
course.
Hoping to
Don't
see a little
all.
Bit, you know, a little bit more of what happened. But great episode, you know, this season's starting off strong.
Yeah, I feel you. And, you know, not everybody knew that Carl was dead, and we've got some reactions to that tonight from some of the characters, and we'll get to that. First, I want to talk about Daryl and that group leading the Alexandrians out of Alexandria to the hilltop, but they have to go through this really weird swamp kind of thing.
Yeah.
When we find out that they're avoiding the saviors, I didn't realize that the saviors were that like up and running so fast.
Yeah.
Because they're apparently like cornering them, and they're all over the place, and they have to go through the swamp in order to avoid them. Are you a little confused as how they got on their feet so quickly?
I mean, I did think it was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, for them to, but they have a lot of people.
I know.
So that's the thing. They can cover a lot of ground. And only thing I can think of is maybe certain people were stationed in certain areas, you know, and maybe they were able to get to the location quicker than, you know, others. But it does, I mean, yeah, in TV time, it seemed very quick.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So.
No.
In this group, we've got Daryl, Tara, Rosita, Dwight, and then obviously the other Alexandrians. Tara obviously has a big problem with Dwight right off of the bat.
Yeah.
Which we kind of knew that was going to happen because of everything that happened with Denise.
Yep.
Daryl, though, and Rosita disagreed with what Tara was saying and how to handle the whole Dwight situation. Did you agree more with Tara, or did you agree more with Daryl and Rosita?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, look at, I understand completely where Tara's coming from in this process. I mean, you're you know, the person you love is has been killed, you know, and basically through the hands of this guy,
yeah.
you know? And how do you trust him? You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, I think her whole thing is that she just never trusted him.
Yeah.
And I understand that, because who's to say that Dwight wouldn't switch sides all of a sudden, you know, with whatever happens? I mean, we see in the episode that he does not, seemingly,
right.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, how would you really trust this guy? I wouldn't welcome him into my group right off the bat from that. There's no way. I would... which she tried to kill him. I mean, sure, it's always going to be in the back of my mind. That was the first time I've seen Daryl really have a run-in with her, too. So yeah. That was an interesting, because he was pissed off,
yes.
You know. And I'm with Tara, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think she should have disobeyed the rules because it's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
But you let your emotions get involved with, I mean, like, once you, this is somebody who lost someone who they love tremendously. Yeah. So you can't help it.
Here's what surprised me about that entire situation, because Daryl was kind of... I don't know. Daryl has been the forefront man to kill Dwight in this entire season. So it kind of surprised me when he was the one that disagreed with Tara. And then just piggybacking on that, Rosita was like, I don't really agree with you either, Tara, because you don't know what angle Dwight has. You don't know what kind of usage we can have for him in the future. And that just brings me back to, you know, my favorite character. Not my favorite character, but all the slack that Rosita gets. She is actually very smart. Like, yeah. you have to give her credit that, you know, she does think a little bit outside of the box.
Sure.
So I kind of liked that other point of view from her, because usually we just get the sulking, I'm pissed off at the world, Rosita.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the evolution of Rosita.
Exactly. You know
what I mean? That's what I kind of feel like with the show. We've had our ups and downs with the way we felt about her. And I feel like now she actually is a stronger character on the show, even in the sense of the way she was with Daryl. You know, to me, she's kind of stepped up to where like a Maggie used to be, or even a Carol. You know, she's in that lane. I think she's seen so much, and she's had a lot of, you know, turbulence through this process too, and lost people too. So I think that's hardened her, which has also, in some sense, made her a stronger soldier. I'll call her a soldier.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, but I also agree with Daryl in the sense of the way Tara handled it. It could have messed them up because of the fact that if Dwight goes and tells them where everyone is, you know, and she, you know, it was her mistake, you know, and you don't know what he's going to do. And it could jeopardize not just Tara's emotional feeling with it. It could jeopardize the entire group.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So the disagreements just continue because Dwight tells them about a swamp route that they can take to avoid the saviors. And he says the saviors have avoided it. And then Tara's the only one who picks up on it and is like, oh, well, it's too dangerous for them, so why would we go through there?
Right.
Which would be my first question also. Like, why would you think that it's a good idea for us to go through when there's four of us who are actually fighting and then all these other people who are Alexandrians who are just kind of doing whatever? Obviously, we saw from the preview that they were going to go through the swamp. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's great TV. Did you agree with Daryl or did you agree with Tara?
In which regard?
In which, to go through the swamp or to try to find another way?
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if I'd want to go through that swamp. I mean, I would have tried to find another way. Here's the thing. It reminded me of the episode. Was it last season? And you guys can tell me in the chat. Hey, what's up, Vader girl? Thank you for all the comments you're giving us right now. But there was the episode with the boathouse where they were trying to get to the... Was that last season or the season before where they had to go through
the water?
When
Rick and Daryl were...
Yeah.
Yes.
And it reminded me of that part, but at least you saw the walkers floating on top of the water. Then this one is a little bit freakier because you're in the swamp. First of all, you don't know what else is in there.
Right.
Let's start there, and let's throw the walkers in. I mean, when you cannot see what's in front of you, I don't think it's the best idea. I feel like they should have found another way because at any moment they could jeopardize the group. So I disagree with them going through the swamp.
Okay, here's my thing. Before they even went through the swamp, and it's what Dwight had said to them. He says he wants to beat Negan. He wants to help them in any way that they can. And then he says after that, he knows how it ends.
Yeah.
Did you think that the subtext under that was that he knows that he's going to kill them?
Absolutely.
Or that he's going to be killed by them?
He's going to be killed by them,
right. Did that?
I think it's a little foreshadowing. I thought it was foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I kind of... See, here's the thing, and this is why I like the writing of The Walking Dead, is because you want to hate Dwight, but at the same time, he's helping them, so I can't hate him like 100%. I feel bad with like his history and you know what happened with his wife Sherry, which he kind of addressed in this episode.
He did,
and all the shit that he had to go through with Negan and being like a kind of like a slave to him.
Yeah,
Dwight is a very complex character, and I really like him.
Wow, you say really like him?
I do.
Those are strong words.
I really like him.
I don't know
now.
If I really like him.
Okay.
That's strong.
It is a little strong. It is. I do. Okay, maybe I'll take the really off of there and say I do like him.
Okay.
I like the fact that he's really the only one. Because without him, they wouldn't be as far as they are. They probably would have been dead by now.
I mean, that's definitely true. They needed his insight to get to where they are.
Right.
You know, But once again, do you really trust him? You know, would you allow yourself to trust him after? Does his helping outweigh all of the other crap that he also brought?
Yeah.
In a sense, with the group, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if I could get past that.
Like, do the goods outweigh the bads?
Yeah.
I don't know. In the chat, let me know what you guys think, because I'm curious. If Dwight is growing on people like he's growing on me. I don't know. I'm confused.
Vader Girl says Tara should give Dwight the same break others gave her.
Oh.
I mean, a good point.
Yes, but then just to play devil's advocate, Vader Girl, I don't know if Tara was on the same level as Dwight in terms of the, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I can't think of the word right now. It's the betrayal.
The betrayal. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. That's good to have that opinion there. So Rosita and Daryl decide to go clear the swamp for the Alexandrians. Tara wants to stay back with Dwight. Now, I knew immediately something was going to happen between the two of them. Because, I mean, she literally threw a walker at him in the beginning. And now she's like, oh, yeah, I'll stay behind. Did you think that it was necessary for somebody to stay behind with Dwight to watch over the Alexandrians, or they could have watched over themselves?
They could have watched over themselves, but I think that Tara normally follows the rules, so I think that no one really thought that she would do so. Well, that's not true, because Rosita did notice. Well, she noticed her chasing after Dwight. I think that people still thought that she would follow the rules that Rick had given, because that's what most people have done at that point. Mm-hmm. So she hasn't really fallen off the wagon as far as the rules. So
So then they see walkers coming toward them and they decide to go after them, just Dwight and Tara. And obviously things escalate from there. When he was running away, after he apologized for Denise, I thought that was going to take a turn for Tara. I thought that that's all she wanted. I thought that nobody ever apologized for the death of pretty much one of the most important people that she cared about. Yeah. And now that he was doing it, she was going to be like, you know what? Okay, I'm good.
I mean, I think that's an easy out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand the way she handled it. It would have been an easy out.
You know?
But once again, they need him.
You know?
And it proves to be true.
Right.
He got her out of the situation of being caught.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it proved itself.
Yeah, and
it was
a
foreshadowing.
I love that moment too, because the saviors were about to catch them, and I don't want to say he gave himself up, but then at the same time he kind of did, because he didn't really know what they knew.
Right. Yeah, because that was a ballsy move. I was going to say that.
Right, because he didn't know if they knew where Laura was, if Laura had touched base with them about his betrayal, and so he pretty much put his life on the line to save them. And Rosita saw it, Tara saw it, so I'm hoping that gives him a little bit more, I don't know, points in their book to him?
I would say yes. The only thing I would say now is that if I was Tara, I would watch how it's handled now that he's back with Negan.
Yes.
How that information of what he really has is given or not given.
Yeah.
That's what would make me decide if I'm going to trust him or not at that point.
Yeah. You know? Well, Daryl was really mad because obviously she kind of let him escape. And I don't want to say she let him escape, whereas he kind of sacrificed himself. But if that whole thing didn't go down, then this would never happen. But then at the same time, Daryl has to understand that if that didn't all go down, then the saviors might have caught them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, Daryl needs to take a chill pill, because I didn't really like how he was talking to Tara.
Well, I mean, it was an intense moment. You got to also have, but I hear you, the way, his tone was definitely strong with her. But on the flip side, you have to, because what you do or the decision you make affects such a bigger part of the group versus just your individual vendetta against someone.
No, I completely agree with you. But at the same time, if we're looking at it in hindsight, and how they say is hindsight is always 20/20, if Tara didn't really start this beef with Dwight and that all didn't happen, they could have potentially gotten caught and probably killed.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it's a little too early for him to catch that, but if I was Tara, I'd have been like, look, dude, like, at the end of the day, he helped us, whatever.
Right.
I want to take a step back to go to Maggie in the Hilltop, because I love seeing Maggie in this leadership role.
Yeah.
Because after everything that she's lost, and you touched on it a little earlier when you said, losing people kind of hardens characters.
Sure.
With Maggie, that's her loss has just influenced her to step up. And I love how she's dealing with the Hilltop people. What I don't like is how she's handling the prisoners. I think that she's being a little naive about it. I think in the beginning she was hard about it, and now that the longer they're there, the more they're growing on her, and the softer she's becoming toward them.
I think, you know, in a weird way, that Gregory's in her head more than what she wants to admit.
Yeah.
And I think that he knows it, yes, and he's trying to manipulate that situation just a little bit. That's just my observation with it, because she's just, obviously, Maggie's one of the strongest characters on the show.
Yeah.
She has great leadership. She is definitely representing for the group, but there is something with mm-hmm. Gregory, the way that he, I feel like he Jedi mind tricks her a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, just a little bit. Yeah. Even with, if you look to tonight's show, you know, she's like, you're going to stay in there basically at the beginning of the episode to find out that she's letting him and the other, I cannot remember the other guy's name. Who's
the attractive guy? The attractive prisoner or Gavin?
Not Gavin. Jared. Not Gavin, the one who also stepped up tonight. If you guys know his name in the chat, he's the guy who was in, he's in there with Gregory.
Yes, yes.
And he spoke tonight to Maggie and kind of backed up what Gregory was mentioning. You know, I think that he does definitely get into Maggie's brain.
I do too. I think what was fascinating about this episode is that they're slowly introducing other threats again, and it's not just Negan, it's not just the walkers, it's the food supply. They actually have no food right
now.
And Maggie is being generous enough to give the food to the prisoners, and she tells them that they have to cut their rations just like they're cutting their rations. What baffled me about this entire thing was that she's giving the same amount of rations to the prisoners as that she is to her own people.
Yeah, she is.
Which I was like,
you disagree with that?
I do disagree with that, because I'm like, okay, you could just easily kill them and not give them anything. So to give them something is more than what they have.
So true.
I don't agree with that part of her leadership.
You think that she should not be giving them?
I think that she should not be giving them equal to what she's giving to her own people. That's like saying that they're equals and they're not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line. I mean, I agree with you in one regards about them not having the same portions, mm-hmm. but you got to keep, there's a lot of prisoners there, and I think that they don't know yet what they're going to utilize them for.
Right.
And I think that there's also secretly, there's a hope that maybe they'll turn those prisoners around.
Right.
So by shorting them the food, mm-hmm. it sets a difference of tone, you know, a tone of you guys are lesser than.
Yes.
And which is understandable.
Right.
But If the long run is to kind of maybe switch them to your team, mm-hmm. you want to, that becomes a fine line.
No, that's a good point. And I just want to bring up that because Gregory wants to speak to Maggie, and the other, did anybody get back to us on who the other prisoner's name was, the attractive prisoner?
That's what we're trying to.
Cool. Well, he.
I love the attractive prisoner.
He kind of steps up and says that they're behaving, and they should get something for their good behavior.
Yes.
Now, immediately I was like, oh, you guys are trying to pull something over right now? Because who says that? Who says, we've been behaving really well, we should get something for it? Right. Like, Maggie's letting you live. Isn't that enough?
That's true.
I was a little like, well, what do they want? And he was like, oh, we want some time outside of the pen. He wants some exercise, some shade. I was like, okay, I can understand that part. I didn't actually think that Maggie was going to oblige.
I didn't either, so that's what I was saying. Like, I didn't either so quickly, especially the way she has set the tone kind of at the beginning of the show where she wasn't going to do it. But, you know, I think that she still questions certain parts of her authority. That's what I personally feel.
Yeah.
You know, there's still something there with her. So, yeah.
I mean, we got a little touch of Morgan and Carol and Henry also, which I kind of wanted to just touch on really quick. Henry is going, he's a little weird. He's been acting a little strange lately. And I like this whole argument between Carol and Morgan, whereas Morgan is like all hardcore badass right now. And he's like, Henry needs to know everything. And Carol's like, no, he's just a child. Like,
like divorced parents.
Exactly.
That's what it seems like.
Do you think that their histories, because Carol has more... I see. I was going to say Carol has more experience dealing with children, but Dwight actually had a kid, but so did Carol.
Morgan.
I just feel like Carol is sitting there trying to look out for Henry, and Morgan's just like, no, tell him everything that he needs to know. And Carol's like, no, he's just a kid. Who do you agree with in this situation?
I think it has to be a happy middle. I think they both lost their children in different ways that they both were traumatized equally. I think that, honestly, it comes from a motherly instinct versus a father and a father being like, that's his, like, he looks at him as his son.
Yeah.
And I think that he doesn't want to shield him from things that are going on. I mean, you can't. I mean, look at Carl, you know, like, at the end of the day, you got to be tough, you know? I mean, and even when you're tough, look what happened to Carl. You know, Carl was better than most of the other adults there as far as like being a soldier. And I think that, you know, I think that Morgan's standpoint is coming from that place. He wants him to be as tough as he can be. It's, you know, you can't be a kid in this time, you know, unfortunately. But I think that there's something with Carol that she, as tough as she is, even the way she... Even the way she has been with other kids, I can't remember the young man's name who was on this like a couple episodes ago, who when they walked through the zombies, he actually got attacked by the zombies. He and his brother with Enid and...
That group.
That group.
Yes.
I don't remember the kid's name, but just right now. But saying all that to say, Carol has taken on like that motherly role with them, and I think that she actually... you know, I think that she still has like a lot of empathy for that and still wants them to be kids, and you can't be.
Right.
You know, you just can't.
Well, Vader Girl in the chat says Henry's gone full on Izzy, and that's, or Lizzie. And that's who this is starting to remind me of. And that's why I can understand her hesitation, because we obviously found out, we obviously know what happened with that storyline and how Carol had to deal with Lizzie. Do we think that if he's not careful, Henry will end up the same way as Lizzie did?
I mean, yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
I hope that's not the case.
I do, too. I actually like Henry.
I do, too. Got a lot of heart.
Yeah. You know?
But it could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we'll see. Daryl and the gang get to the hilltop. And I love this moment because I honestly forgot that not everybody knew about Carl's death because we're three episodes into the next to this second half of the season. And just seeing Carol, Maggie, and Enid find out about it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I just, like, I didn't expect myself to feel anything towards Enid, but I did.
Yeah, she was amazing acting for that. She did a great job.
How do you think that Carl's death is going to affect how Carol deals with Henry now?
That's a good question. I really think that... I don't know. I feel like she actually might go in even more protective mode with him versus like teaching him to harden up. I think she's going to feel like another one lost, you know? I mean, Carl was also like her son. She's watched him grow up, you know? And I think that she's going to get even more protective of Henry.
Yeah.
I think that what I do love about Henry is Henry's on a vengeance. Henry's like, who killed my brother, you know? And even with... at the end of the episode, Morgan revealing who actually did it, you know? So I think that he's going to be tough within himself anyway.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think what I like about the Morgan and Henry situation is that Morgan is on the same kind of vengeful path that Henry is on right now.
Yeah.
It's just that Morgan is an adult and he can actually handle it. Whereas Henry's just a kid.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for saying just a kid because it is the zombie apocalypse. And like you said, you can't really be a child here.
Yeah. The only one who can be, you know, are babies, you know?
Yeah, right. Because they don't really have a choice. I'm excited to see where that whole thing goes with Carol, Morgan, and Henry.
I feel like Henry's going to somehow, he's not going to be Carl, you know, but he will somehow, I think he's going to be a character that sticks, they keep around for a little bit to develop him into something bigger.
Yeah.
Because it's funny. Vader Girl says that he's a loose cannon. Khalid Abdul says that he's tired of Carol always getting the kids. He said, I feel like they need to stop giving Carol child figures, Sophia, Lizzie. Is it Mika, Micah? And so it's Sam. And so thank you for that, Khalid, by the way, because it was going to really bother me to not remember what Sam's name was. But, I think that they're going to develop Henry a little bit more because there's something there. And he's got the anger, too.
Yeah, you know? That's funny that you said that because there are a few articles floating around right now that they're trying to replace Carl with somebody now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's going to be Henry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to talk about Father Gabriel and Dr. Carson really quick.
Oh, God. You know how I feel about Father Gabriel.
Look, we are both on the same page about Father Gabriel.
And I still get disappointed every time.
So do I. But here's – let's just start from the beginning. So him and Dr. Carson are lost, and Gabe still has this infection, which I didn't think was this bad because the last time we saw him, he just like had a fever and he was kind of sweating. I was like, oh, it's kind of like the flu.
Yeah.
But this is like targeting what did he say? His optical nerve.
Yeah.
What I liked about the Father Gabriel and Dr. Carson relationship, and they set it off pretty early, is it's pretty much science versus faith. We have the man of science, who's Dr. Carson, who says, you know, you have to do everything that you can in order to help yourself. Whereas Father Gabriel says, you know, I will go where I need to go or feel that I need to go, and then, you know, God will lead me.
Yeah.
In this type of situation, who do you agree with?
As far as God leading him to the path?
Well, let's not even go with a God leading you kind of way and making it so religious. Let's say it's more of like an instinct. Like, you feel a certain way and you should do that versus somebody who's saying, no, we have to do this.
I mean, I definitely believe in intuition, and I think that's what Father Gabriel uses a lot of times, mm-hmm. but I don't always agree with his intuition, right. You know, and I mean, I hate to say it, but we even saw it tonight, is, you know, his intuition is that spirituality, God will lead me to this, and this is what this means, but on the flip side of that, we also saw the tragedy that came along with that, and also see him back in Negan's camp.
Right.
You know what I mean? So...
So faith can only take
faith
you too
can
far.
Only get you so far. Yeah. You know, you also got to be smart about your decisions and make the right decisions, you know? And I feel like continuously we see somehow Gabriel, you know, just when I want to like him, mm-hmm. make some decision that I'm like, get this guy off the show.
Yes. Here's my thing about Father Gabriel is that the hypocrisy is real when it comes to him.
Yeah.
If we remember his origin, he literally locked his own people out of the church and they pretty much got eaten to death. And now here he is in this holier-than-thou kind of attitude where it just comes off as annoying to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't really affect me as a character because I know what he's done in the past and I can't get over it. I'm holding a grudge toward Father Gabriel. That's pretty much what I'm doing.
Right now. I mean, I definitely have had my grudges towards him. And listen, I get the representation of what his character brings.
Yes.
Because you have to have someone in traumatic times mm-hmm. to have faith or to have you think in a spiritual way to maybe get you out of the situation and have you think in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he represents. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, just when he does that, something happens where it brings us back to the reality of we're in a zombie apocalypse. Nothing's guaranteed and people are dying.
Right. Do we think that everything that happened with Dr. Carson and Father Gabe tonight was a little cliche or a little too easy? Like, first you have the cabin, then you have the piggy bank, then you have the car. Like, it was
I thought it was cliche. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't the only one about that.
Or even the fact that, well, there's several, you know, I told you this when we were watching the show, a couple of issues that I had, even the cliche of, okay, he finds the medication, you know, and it happens to be antibiotics, you know, mm-hmm. that when they walk into the radio controller's house and we think that the radio controller's gone and he's really dead, tried to commit suicide, apparently.
Well, but sorry, before you go on, I want to talk to you about that because if you looked at the body closely, so there was a lot going on
with
this guy.
There's a lot going on.
He went through a lot to try to whatever
plastic
he was
bags
doing.
On his head.
Plastic bag, handcuffed to the bed, pills.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on. But if you looked at him, there was like a gun in his waistband. Why didn't he just shoot himself?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, I know it's like nitpicky about the episode, but I was, because there was a lot, like you said, going on.
There was a lot going on.
In that bedroom.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just shoot yourself, dude?
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I agree. But once again, you know, going back to kind of what you said, the cliche of it is that, okay, they find this thing and then they find these antibiotics.
Right.
And right when Gabriel needs antibiotics, you know... You know, but I had a problem when they were sitting in the truck Dr. Carson says to him, hey, do you hear that? And Gabriel, who's sitting there with his windows down, I mean, you know that a zombie could roll up on you at any moment.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, I don't hear anything. Or basically he's like, oh, what noise? You know, and I'm like, come on, that's not realistic. You would be so paranoid.
Yes.
And you would be looking around. If I heard any sound of something, I would turn around and ready to pull my gun or a weapon.
But I mean, in Father Gabe's defense, he is dealing with an infection and a sickness.
Sure.
So maybe he didn't hear it. What I do agree with you on is there was a lot of that whole back and forth. Do you hear that? Yeah. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? There was a lot of that in their dialogue. Yeah. Because in like maybe a couple of scenes after that, it's like reverse where Father Gabe is asking Dr. Carson, oh, do you hear that?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It was a little, I don't know. It was too easy. It was a little too cliche. And I felt that they could have done a lot more with the whole science versus faith, because I think that's exactly what they were trying to accomplish in that scene with these two characters.
I agree. What's funny with talking about cliche, Eb Morris on the chat says, I found it dumb that the doctor didn't look at the medicine before Gabe did. That was a cliche too.
It's The Walking Dead, and we love this show, but at the same time, you have to get nitpicky about it because you're like, where? It's like the writers kind of take like shortcuts, or they kind of try to cut corners.
Yeah.
And we're too smart for that.
Yeah.
It's like the viewers, you know, are going to catch on to it.
Right.
They literally break down where Glenn is under the dumpster for days on end to see how he could have got under there. Like, the viewers are too smart. They have to not cut corners.
Right.
It's just a little annoying. What I did find interesting was when it came to the walkers that they were encountering, even at the car, there was a walker with a missing leg.
Yep.
And in the beginning, in our notes, I was like, why is he missing a leg? Because, you know, you always have to, like, look at these things. Because why? We're too smart not to. And then they find another one. And then I was like, why are all of these walkers, why don't they have legs? And we obviously come to find out that this guy who was in the cabin decided to set traps, bear traps, and that's where all of the walkers are losing their legs. And Dr. Carson steps in one.
You're right.
Did we think it was a little, once again, cliche for Gabe to rescue Dr. Carson with the gun?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so here's my thing. I mean, yeah, sure, there is the 50% chance that Gabe has the gun and he can't really see, and he points the bullet, or he points the gun at, at, you know, Carson, who's getting attacked by the zombie. There's a 50-50 chance that he's going to hit one or the other. I thought, it was a little bit annoying. I'm going to say annoying or cliche. Okay, I'll use that word. Maybe not annoying. Cliche that he shoots the zombie, you know, even though he can't really see because he's that great of a shooter. And he's not that great of a shooter. We've seen that in other episodes. So now, all of a sudden, he's a great shooter.
Right.
You know? And I know I feel like I'm bashing Gabriel, and I feel like I've bashed Gabriel on the show so many seasons.
It's okay, I bashed Ezekiel, though.
And you know, he's come a long way. There are parts of last season that I did like him, and I think sometimes his decisions really frustrate me.
Yes.
And if I was in the group with him, he would frustrate the hell out of me.
Yes, here's my thing with Father Gabriel. I did like him. I liked when he was at the Savior's compound, and he's like, look, we got to get out of here. I like that go-getter Gabriel.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when he plays this whole, I'm better than you, I know a better way kind of, I'm this zen kind of person. I'm like, dude, it's not time for that. Like, you're literally fighting for your life right now, and you're from a fever A, from the Saviors B, from walkers C, and you're sitting here going, oh no, I'm okay, we'll just go where he leads me. It's just a little weird.
It's a little much.
Yeah, it's a little too much. I actually felt bad for Dr. Carson when he slipped in the bear trap, because I thought that he was gonna last a lot longer.
Me too.
I thought he was gonna get to the hilltop, which is where they were trying to go. I didn't think they were going to get caught by the Saviors in the end either. Did you?
No, not at all. You know, I did feel bad for Dr. Carson because he had good intentions.
Yeah.
You know, and he really looked out for Gabriel. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks that he had to go out the way that, you know, that way, you know.
Yeah.
Like, had his foot basically destroyed.
Yeah. You know? And then he tries to make a move and then gets shot.
And then gets shot, you know.
It
was a little quick, though.
It was
very quick. It all kind of happened very quickly.
Yes. Well, because it was kind of through Gabe's, like, weird...
Gabe's weird red eye, infected eye kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed with that whole thing because I thought that Dr. Carson was gonna get back to the hilltop.
Yeah.
But then if you look at it, he couldn't have, because then we have Sadiq, who's a doctor, and he just got to the hilltop. So there can't be two.
Can't be two.
You lost one, you gained another.
And even if he, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he would have got killed regardless, probably, you know, by Negan if they took him all the way back, you know, whatever. So
yeah. I do want to talk about Negan really quickly, just because he orders Eugene to get into the outpost. So he wants Eugene to get an outpost in order to make ammunition, which is what we touched base on like almost a season ago.
Right.
Never happened because of obviously everything that's been happening. So Eugene is now making bullets. It's going to take a few days for him to get the supply that Negan wants. And he gives Negan this idea to use the walker blood on weapons in order to affect others.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the smartest things that...
I'm surprised no one's done it before now. You know? Well, I mean, but look how long it took them to realize that they could actually put on Walker's blood to
protect
themselves.
They did that in, like, season two,
you know?
Though.
It's taken a while, you know, yeah. And I think it's brilliant. I think that it's like, you know, warfare, it's going to be serious, you know, and I'm surprised it took him that long to really realize it.
Yeah. Did you think that when it came to Negan, did you think that he was going to react positively to Eugene and him making the bullets?
He likes Eugene, you know, and I think that he has in a weird way, Negan has a soft spot for Eugene, mm-hmm. and Eugene knows that. I still haven't fully figured out Eugene's goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're going to see some different stuff from him, like later on in the season. I just don't think that he is going to stay this, like, kind of consistent backing up Negan so much. I think he's going to switch it on us.
Okay.
Even the way that the red-haired character who came in tonight, yes. who wanted to help him with the bullets, yeah. and I was actually surprised of his response to her.
He was a little misogynistic.
He was, and yeah. I was surprised. I thought he would have been like, hey, come on in here.
Yeah.
You know? But there's something behind Eugene that mm-hmm. they're not revealing yet, and that'll be in my predictions.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I love the way that Eugene talks. Sometimes the way that he phrases things, especially when he's talking to the redhead girl, I just love the way that he talks. It's just the thought that I had. Like, if Eugene had a podcast, I would listen to that podcast because it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, just the way that he talks. It's just so funny. Let's see. Do you have any last thoughts on the episode before we get into predictions?
I mean, overall, I feel like this is one of those episodes that was just, it's kind of like a lot of backstory to build up for something mm-hmm. bigger for next week, especially when we saw the preview for next week and Rick's back. And you know, at the end of the episode, we see Maggie opening up the gate and mm-hmm. they're saying Rick is here.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just a build up to something greater, especially now that we know that the team, that, you know, Maggie and Carol have found out about Carl.
Carl, yeah. So, I'm excited to see how Maggie deals with Rick now that she knows that Carl is it too.
Exactly.
So we'll see. Did you... let's get into predictions then.
All right, great.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Thank you, Jules, in the booth for giving us our lights. I love the lights. I'm going to shoot it over to you. What do you have for predictions?
My predictions is now that Rick is back, we saw, as I was kind of mentioning in the preview, that Rick and the team are back and they know about Carl. I think that they're going to somehow get back to Dwight. Mm-hmm. I think that Dwight is going to aid them and still continue to aid them. And I think mm-hmm. that somehow Eugene is going to shift gears with his dedication to Negan.
Yes.
Especially now, I think that he and Gabriel, that now they're together, because now Gabriel's basically Eugene's apprentice. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to team up together and somehow help Rick and the team out with internally.
Yes. Here's my thing. Now that Dwight is back with Negan, I'm excited to see how that relationship deals with Eugene as well. Because remember, Eugene told Dwight, like, you need to leave.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to blow up your spot.
Yeah.
And now that Dwight's back, I want to see... I want to see where that goes. Eugene is not acting like himself. I think that he might actually use the redhead girl to his advantage. I know that she has a name. There's Tanya and then there's another one. I can't think of her name right now. But I think he's going to use her to his advantage. I think that because Dwight gave himself up, Rosita, Tara, and Daryl are going to give him a second chance at the end of the day. I think that he's going to join Rick's group and he'll just be one of them at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. You guys, let us know your thoughts on the episode. I am excited that you're back.
I'm happy to be back. Khalid said it's Frankie.
Frankie. Frankie and Tanya.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you everybody in the chat. Vader Girl and who is Khalid?
Oh, Khalid.
Yes.
Trini Boy. We got a bunch of people.
We got
in
a lot
there
of people.
Commenting.
You know we love you guys. We love interacting with you in the chat. If there's any thoughts that you guys had on the episode that we missed, tweet us.
Yeah.
Comment on the YouTube video. Let us know. Ben will hopefully be back next week. Like I said, I'm so excited to be back with you.
I'm excited to be back with the team. You know what else I'm excited about is Maria Menounos, yes, who is our founder for AfterBuzz TV. Well, before we leave, I want you guys to also remember to check out her show, Conversations with Maria Menounos. I actually co-host her show periodically, and she has great guests from celebrities to, you know, secrets and tips on improving your life. I mean, it's so many great things that are on her show, and you guys definitely check it out. You just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. She is our founder for AfterBuzz, so, you know, by supporting her, you're supporting us and what we do and all the after shows. So you definitely have to check it out. It's a great show, and you're going to get a lot of good tips and information.
And guys, make sure when you watch Conversations with Maria, make sure you rate her, comment on her page as well, and let her know that we sent you to her, her own AfterBuzzers. So check it out, Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast for free. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Ben. We'll see you next week, and hopefully we're going to have a really exciting episode next week.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I also have a show that's running on Reels channel called Broken Famous. So you can check me out there. Check out the 50 Cent episode.
Because
especially.
He's famous, you guys.
Not yet. But.
You guys, I am Timothy Mike. You can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.